Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Prayer unto God in times of trouble has always been the privilege of the people of God. Jesus made this possible when he absorbed all of God's wrath on the cross for sinners that call upon his name. If you haven't already done so, cry out to God today and he will save you. Please open your Bible to Psalm 54 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of Psalms 54 through 56.
Psalm 54. To the chief musician and neginoth, that speaks of stringed instruments. Mashil, a psalm of David, when the Zuphims came and said to Saul, "Doth not David hide himself with us?" Mashil is a word that describes of instruction or contemplation. And the idea here is that there is something to be taught, something to be learned, something to be meditated in these words that are put to music. The Ziphims were part of the tribe of Judah. We know from the book of Joshua, chapter 15, verses 20 and 24, that tells us that the people of Ziph were part of the tribe of Judah. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9, we read, "Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the wood, and the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon?" And in this psalm, David once again is aware that he has been betrayed. According to Greek Orthodox tradition, Psalm 54 contains a prophecy of the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalm begins with the words, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength." Save me, O God. David had come to know the mighty power of God who is able to save. And we've seen already many psalms that tell us that David was a man who was both greatly loved and greatly hated. And here he's crying out to God to save him, to deliver him. And he says, "Save me, O God, by thy name." The name of God represents who he is, what he does. And his name speaks of his glory, his greatness, his nature. "David, save me, O God, by thy name. Judge me," or "plead my case, vindicate me. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." Hear my prayer, O God. Prayer unto God in times of trouble has always been the privilege of the people of God. The book of Hebrews tells us that because of the finished sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the price that he paid for our sin debt, and the fact that he absorbed the wrath of justice of God on our behalf, when Jesus said it is finished, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, signifying that you and I, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, now can come boldly into the presence of God. And in context, in the presence of God in time of need. All human and natural forms of defense against our enemies, by and large, are useless. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. But the weapon of prayer is part of the armor of God. that we can use and need to use, especially in times of trouble, in times of battle. In verse 3, David says, "For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them." Selah. So people who had no regard for God. David says, these strangers, those who had no cause for ill will against David, how they had turned against him. And here is a Selah to stop and pause and meditate about that. Strangers risen up against me, oppressors seeking after my soul, people that have not set God before them. Perhaps that's you tonight watching this teaching. And people have, for no cause, have ill will against you, seeking to oppress you. Stop. What can you do? You can cry out to God, "Save me, O God, by thy name. Hear my prayer." Go to the Lord. He is your shield. He is your defense. And in verse 4 of chapter 54, David says, "Behold, in spite of what is going on around him, in spite of the fact that here David is aware of the betrayal, he says, but God is my helper, and the Lord is with them that sustain my soul." Again, there were those who recognized the anointing of God, the hand of God upon David. An imperfect man, but a man after God's own heart. And David here declared that God was his helper. God was his sustainer. One anonymous writer said this, quote, "The great God protects his own people. What matters the number or violence of our foes when he uplifts the shield of his omnipotence to guard us?" David here declares that he's not alone. There are those that are with him. And he said, "The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." You know, it's a great mercy to have some friends besides us, but it's a greater mercy to know that the Lord is among us. "He shall reward evil unto mine enemies," or in other words, he will return their calamity. He will cut them off in thy truth. He will destroy them in his faithfulness. I want you to note here that David did not take vengeance in his own hands. He realized that, as we will see tonight again, the Lord is the only one that can take vengeance. And so here's David. He's betrayed. He's under attack. He cries out to God. And in verse 6, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good." Let me ask you a question. Do the circumstances that we've looked at so far, would they indicate to you that David had exterior or circumstantial reason to praise God? No. He may not have even felt like it in his flesh, but because he knew his God, he had a history with God. He already says, "God is my helper. God is my sustainer. God has been there for me." And because of that, he says, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good." I will freely sacrifice unto thee. Literally, that means spontaneously will I bring my free will offerings. The freewill offerings were those fellowship offerings that we read about in the book of Leviticus, chapter 3 and chapter 7. And they were offered unto God, and they were accompanied by praises for deliverance. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I know that it's been said over and over, and yet it's worth repeating. It is easy to praise God when things are well, but it is supernatural to praise God when things are not well. David says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee, not regretfully, not because I have to. I will praise thy name, O Lord, O Jehovah, the revealed name, the God of Israel, God's name is good, and so is his praise. Beloved, never forget, truly God is good. He's good. Charles Stanley writes this, quote, what does it mean to willingly sacrifice to God? It means that we voluntarily and gladly put something precious of ours in his gracious hands, knowing that we can never outgive him. No offering is ultimately a sacrifice because we give nothing to him that he has not first given to us. David ends this 54th Psalm in verse 7 with these words, for he has delivered me out of all trouble. Notice, David acknowledges how God has delivered him out of all trouble. And you may be in some kind of trouble tonight. I may be in some kind of trouble tonight. Let us remember, in our present troubles, all of the times God has delivered us. And mine eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we learn that God shows himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 55, again to the chief musician on Neginoth. Again, another psalm to the chief musician, Mashil, another psalm of instruction and contemplation. We've seen thus far that Doeg and the Zuphims had betrayed David. But there was a time when Absalom, his own son, rebelled against him. And we will see tonight that even his trusted friend Ahithophel turned against him. And Psalm 55 is believed to have happened during that mournful era when David was betrayed by his trusted counselor Ahithophel. One anonymous commentary said this, quote, the spiritual eye ever and anon sees the son of David and Judas and the chief priests appearing and disappearing upon the glowing canvas of the psalm. In the Old Testament, Jesus is predicted. In the Gospels, Jesus is revealed. And it's not hard to see the parable. Give ear to my prayer, or listen attentively, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. So David here cries out to his God, give ear to my prayer, Lord. Don't hide yourself from me. He's mourning. He's going through a trial, and it's because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression. The word oppression describes great pressure that he felt because of the wicked. They were casting him down. They were pouring down trouble upon him. And he says, my heart is sore or severely pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. David's intense pain brought about by this betrayal is so felt in the strong language that he is using here. As I said in the intro to this psalm, many believe that it was written by David after his own son Absalom betrayed him and was attempting to steal his kingdom. And Absalom's rebellion was one of the many horrible consequences that David had suffered because of his adultery with Bathsheba. And once again, we need to understand how when David did go to the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart and asked him to forgive him, God forgave him. Just like he will forgive you and me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yet, there are quite often consequences subsequent to the sins that have to be dealt with. And David was no exception to that. He says in verse 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror, there's that word again, horror has overwhelmed me. And this clearly reveals, beloved, that believers can experience heart-wrenching trouble that overwhelms them with fear and horror. Now, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and yet we can experience fear. Paul the Apostle talks about fears without, fears within. And here, David is speaking of fears and trembling. And the word horror here describes the physical reaction of the body in response to fear. Our Lord Jesus himself said very much the same things as he drew nearer to the cross. In John 12:27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this world. In Mark 14:34, and he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. The Bible talks about the emotions of a believer, the emotions of sadness, the emotions of horror, the emotions of fear and trembling. They're very, very real. Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrows and grief, and yet he was a man, as we see in the book of Hebrews, who was filled with great joy. And here David, fearfulness, trembling, horror. He just wanted out. Did you ever find yourself in a situation, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me on the next Nassau flight to Jupiter. Ever feel like that? Maybe you feel like that tonight. Well, David felt like that. He says in verse 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander afar off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. Now, David, if he was able to fly away, he forgot one thing. He'd still be wherever he landed. You see, because our rest is not in our circumstances. Christ is our rest. When a believer is in trouble, we want to run away. We want to get out. But the Lord tells us, flee to me. Come to me, because it is in his presence that you and I find a place of quiet rest. It's in his presence that we are sheltered from the reach of those who give us grief. Again, Charles Stanley writes, When our circumstances become overwhelming, we may want to escape. But God usually wants us to stay right where we are. Rather than running away, run to Him, because He is in the process of training you for something greater. Trust Him, and He will reveal it to you. And how true that is. God tells us to not, to redeem the time. Don't waste it. Nothing is wasted when we learn to respond by going to the Lord instead of reacting in the flesh. Nothing's wasted. Now, here's the gist of this psalm. In verses 9 through 15, we read of David's indignation towards Ahithophel. We know from the Word of God that Ahithophel was one of David's closest confidants, a counselor, a trusted friend. But there was a time when Ahithophel turned against David and joined Absalom in his rebellion. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But David now describes this painful experience, beginning in verse 9. "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city." You see, because there was this dual king thing going on. David, the anointed king, but had not yet come to the throne. And Saul, the king, but not the king according to God. And there's always going to be violence and strife and division. As long as there are dual kings. As long as you and I are co-kings with Jesus, there's always going to be violence and strife and division. There's only one king. One who sits on the throne. David, again, is experiencing the grief of being hounded and hunted like an animal. Day and night, verse 10, they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. Notice, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, my counselor, someone very close. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, we read, "And Absalom," that's one of David's sons, "sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." Can you imagine the pain? Psalm 41, verse 9, a very familiar passage of Scripture. "Yea, mine own familiar friend, whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." That was fulfilled by Judas Iscariot against Jesus. David knew what it was to be betrayed by his kinsmen. And it's been said, trouble is bad enough when it comes from unexpected sources. But far worse was the fact that now he was betrayed by his son and by a close friend. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful name. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Like sheep without a shepherd, our kids need a trustworthy guide for their lives. Introducing Emerald Crossing, an unforgettable summer camp experience where kids will meet Shepherd King David and the ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ. They learn how to cross from anxiety to peace, from fear to faith, and from uncertainty to a firm foundation in God's Word. Join us at Koinonia Fellowship August 3rd through the 7th. Register today at koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.